Let us all say amen. We want to thank God for another opportunity, for allowing our moments to roll on, allowing us to worship on this afternoon. Thank God for giving man the knowledge and the technology such that even in the situation and circumstances that we're in now, we still can worship God, assemble and worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm Brother Horace Stroud, and I'm thankful and excited for another opportunity to preach God's word. If you have your Bibles, I want to thank Brother Winfrey for his reading of scripture. But that was in, he read Genesis 18, 20 through 23. I know he may have said Revelation, but he did read Genesis 18, 20 to 23. So if you take your Old Testament copy and meet me in Genesis chapter 18, for those that were with us on last week, we spoke from the subject in Genesis 18, is anything too hard for the Lord? We found out that nothing is too hard from the Lord. Even Sarah, in her old age, was able to give birth after she thought she was past that time period. So nothing is too hard from the Lord. And I thought it would be good just to continue in Genesis 18. And I want to preach this afternoon from the subject in verse number 23. Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Abraham asked God that question. Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? We want to go back to Genesis 18. We finished on verse 15 on last week. So I want to pick back up with verse 16 as we look into this letter, this document that we have for us. And so in verse number 16 of Genesis 18, the Bible says, and the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And then the Lord said something to Abraham. He said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And then he said something to fathers and husbands regarding your family. He said, for I know him, Abraham being a father and a husband, that he would command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. So God said that I know Abraham. I know Abraham will lead to lead his family, that they shall keep the way of the Lord. And the word, the way of the Lord, remember this, the way of the Lord means how one behaves are your actions. And so God said concerning Abraham, him being a father and him being a husband, that his children will keep the way of the Lord. They will do that which is just and also judgment. And he said that I may bring unto Abraham that which I have spoken unto him. So I want to encourage those that lead our families tonight, maybe some that are sisters, maybe leading your family. You may be single and leading your family. In regards to that, still you want to make sure that you lead them in a way that they keep the way of the Lord and that they do that which is just and judgment, and that God, as he said with Abraham, may bring upon him that which was spoken. So again, the point to those that are leaders in their home, those husbands that are leading your home, those fathers leading your home, lead them in a way that God will be pleased with and satisfied. Then he says in verse 20, and the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, from what I hear, which is come unto me. And if not, God said, I will know. And so I want to say to us, when those in the earth and living and like Sodom and Gomorrah, we know that sin is rampant in this world and in this earth in which we live. Understand that God is aware of that. God knows when man is sinning. God knows the wrong that is done in earth. And God said, in this case, let us go down now. Let us, being the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us go down now and see whether they've done that according to what we hear regarding Sodom and Gomorrah. God said, I will know. So the Bible says, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. Be mindful that, we'll talk about this when we get further in the letter, that you're trying to live according to that which is right. Don't turn your face. Sodom was a place that was wrong. Sodom was a place that was not proper. Sodom was a place that was not righteous. And the Bible says, and men turned their faces toward that which is unrighteous. He said, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And I want to say to those of us that are dads, live in such a way that you stand before the Lord, or you're standing facing the Lord. You're standing facing that which is right. You're standing facing that which is proper. You're trying to stand facing that which is godly. And then Abraham asked the Lord a question. The Bible said Abraham drew near. And this is the subject title on this afternoon. And said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Lord, you have told me what you're about to do. I know that Sodom and Gomorrah is wicked. I know that. My question to you, Lord, is will you destroy those that are righteous with those that are wicked? And then note, I want you to understand the relationship that God had with Abraham. There'll be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Abraham said, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? God is will always do what is right. Always. Even when we don't understand it. Even when we can't see it. Abraham realized that God was the judge of the earth, and God was going to do that which was right. So he asked the question to God. He said, now I know how you are, and I know the manner of you, God, and the manner isn't that you're going to slay those that are righteous with those that are wicked. He said that now the righteous shall not, you're not going to treat the righteous as the wicked. Now, what I want you to understand when one lives righteous, you can ask God and God will hear you. I'll show you that in the text when we get to the New Testament. When you live righteously, you can ask God for something, and God will hear what you say. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I'm going to do as you ask, Abraham. Then I will spare all the place for their faith. God listened. Because Abraham was righteous, God heard his prayer, and God responded back to him, I'm going to do as you asked me to do. Do you have to realize, as a Christian, you can go to the throne of God. If you're righteous, you can go to God and ask God for things, and God will, you can have confidence that God will hear you. And so Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. And I want to say this while I'm preaching now. Horace Stroud, Brother Stroud, is like Abraham. I'm learning more and more that I am but dust and ashes. I'm learning more and more that when it comes to God, I am but dust and ashes. Abraham realized that. Lord, I know I shouldn't be speaking to you as I am, and I understand that I'm dust and ashes. And as I'm saying to all of us, learn more and more that you are nothing more than dust and ashes. Then he said, perhaps there shall lack five of the 50 righteous. Will thou destroy all the city for the lack of five? And he said, God told him, if I find that God good with math, he said, if I find there 40 and 5, he said, I will not destroy. And he spake unto him again. He spoke to God yet again and said, perhaps there be found 40 there. There shall be 40 found there. God said to him, I will not do it for 40's sake. He said unto him again, he said, Lord, again, oh, let not the Lord be angry. He said, I will speak, perhaps, peradventure, which means perhaps. He said, what if there be 30 be found there? And he said, I will not. No, God just listening to him. When you live in right, God just listening to Abraham. God said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. He said, peradventure, perhaps there shall be 20 found there. And God said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And then Abraham said, Lord, oh, let not the Lord be angry. He said, I'm just going to speak here, but just one more time, Lord. I know you didn't listen to me all the times that I've asked you. I've talked to you, I've asked you 5 times. I'm going to ask you the 6th time. He said, I will speak yet but this once. Perhaps 10 shall be found there. And God said unto him, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. God told him, the word sake, he said, I would not destroy it for the sake or for the good of 10 righteous people. Understand this as a Christian. Those that are righteous are the ones that are sustaining and allowing God to sustain places. And, you know, it's the righteous that are doing it. God said, if I find 10 righteous people in Sodom, God said, I will not do what I'm going to do. I will not destroy it, even though it's sinful. If I can find 10 righteous, God said, I will not destroy it. So now, that's God talking about the righteous. But let's make this 2020. Let's bring this to the year that we're living now. That was Old Testament text. So now, let us look at being righteous ought to be the goal of every living person. You're on this phone this afternoon, listen to the message. That ought to be your goal, that you want to live as a righteous person. So now I want to deal with 3 points on this message tonight, this afternoon, excuse me. I want to talk about, one, what are the benefits of being righteous? Number two, who are the righteous today? And then I'll answer for those that may be some on the call today. You're not a Christian. You're not righteous in God's eyesight. How does one become righteous? So again, you're taking notes. What are the benefits of being righteous? Who are the righteous today? And then how does one become righteous? And I'm going to challenge those that are righteous today. Let us look first to define this word righteous. Let us go to 1 John chapter 3 and define this word righteous from the text. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse is number 7. 1 John chapter 3. John calls those that are righteous, he said, little children. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, talking about God, is righteous. So we find from the text the righteous is a way of living which is right, or right conduct according to God's command. So the righteous are those, it's a lifestyle, it's the way that I live that is right. It's the way I conduct myself according to the commandments of God, and that is in 1 John 2 and 3. The Bible said, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So those that are righteous will do their best to keep God's commandments. Now, let me say that, to qualify that. Does the righteous commit sin? For sure the righteous commit sin. How do you know that, Brother? Because the scripture tells us that. Notice in 1 John 1 and 8, John wrote, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. And understand this, when you see the word just, that's the same Greek word for the word righteous. It means the same thing. The word, when you read the King James Bible, when you see the word righteous, when you see the word just, it's speaking of the same word. So John said, he that is faithful and just, or he that is faithful and righteous, to forgive us of our sins, talking about God in this case, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So again, those that are living righteous will still sin. Yeah, that's for sure. How do we know that? Because in verse number 1 of chapter 2, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you what? Sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that advocate being Jesus Christ, who is the righteous. We want to become righteous. He is the righteous. So I want to qualify the fact that even those that are righteous sin, or those that are living the way, are trying to live upright, we still, or those that are righteous, still sin. But again, righteousness is a way of living which is right, or it is right conduct according to not what you think is right, but according to God's commands, according to 1 John 2 and 3. So again, now let's go, and I share with the congregation often that let's go to 1 Peter, because I try to share with the congregation, and I'll show that during my lesson this afternoon, that reading a letter and removing the book, the chapters, and the verses, but just reading a letter is called a manuscript or a document. And so I want to show this afternoon all that I want to share with you concerning the benefits of being righteous. Also, how the one become. I want to show you from this one letter that Peter wrote to the Christians about righteousness. So I want to begin in 1 Peter 3 and the verse is number 11. So who are the righteous? What are the benefits, of being righteous? Now, in verse number 11, Peter said, as he was writing that letter, he said, let him eschew evil and do good. The word eschew means simply to turn from evil. Turn from that which is wrong. You're trying to be righteous. You got to turn from that which is not right. You got to turn from things that you're doing that are not right. And Peter said to do good or to do what is right. Now notice what the benefits are. He said, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Now that goes back to Genesis, what we just read. God's ears were open to the prayer of Abraham. Why? Because Abraham was righteous. So we find from that text, reading our text earlier, we find that God is true. And what Peter was right when he said that, because he said that not only that, God is watching over those that are righteous. So when you are living in this world, understand that if you're righteous, God is watching you. His eyes are over you, and his ears are open unto their prayer. Peter said, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And then he says that who are the righteous in Peter's letter? Peter referred to them that are righteous, but then when you get to later on in his letter, he identifies who the righteous was called today. In verse number 15 of 1 Peter 4 and 15, Peter said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or even as a busybody in other man's matters. Watch verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, so the righteous in the New Testament were called Christians. He said, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So the righteous today are those that are Christians. And I'll share with you, some people living today, many people live today and think they are Christian. But I will clarify for you from the Word of God, from Peter's letter, who are the Christians, who are the righteous, how do one become one? So Peter said, stand with his text. He said, for the time has come, and not will come, but is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, I want to say now that the house of God is the church of Christ. And if you're listening, make note of 1 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, and it would explain that the house of God is a church of the living God, and it defines that God is the God the Son, not God the Father. I want to just stay in Peter's letter. So again, the house of God is the church of Christ, 1 Timothy 3, 15 and 16. And Peter said, and if it first begin at us, watch this, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So now, who is the righteous? The righteous are those that obey the gospel of God. That's how one starts to be. I'm showing you how righteous. We know that the righteous are those that have obeyed the gospel of God. Right there in the text. Yeah. He said now, and if the righteous, he referred to the Christian now as righteous. He said, and if the righteous be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So in that text, we see Peter identifies three groups of people. He identifies the righteous, those are Christians. Then he identifies the ungodly, and then he identifies the sinner. So who are the righteous of those that are Christians that have obeyed the gospel? But then we find that who are the ungodly? The ungodly, let me define that for you. You're taking notes, Romans 1, 18 and 19. The ungodly are those that ignore or treat God as unimportant, and they refuse to obey God. That's verse 17. So the ungodly are those that they know God. They know God, but They ignore him, and they refuse to obey him. We may have friends and family members that fit in this category of being ungodly. They know about God. We've taught them the gospel. They know about God, but they refuse to obey God. They are in the category of being ungodly. And then those that are sinners. The sinners are those that ignore and treat God's laws as unimportant. Yeah. So the sinner is the one that God has laws, and I ignore God's laws. I don't want to do God's law. That's the sinner. That's the sinner. So we see that God talks about, Peter talks about the righteous, the ungodly, and the sinner. The ungodly being those that won't obey God. The sinner is those that will ignore the laws of God. So let me say this. Let me say this. As a preacher of righteousness, and that's Peter's second letter, he called it, all preachers should want to be a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2:5. To those that are righteous, hear me well, and those that lay claim that you are living righteous. How are you bringing that to our attention, Brother Starr? Because our government, the group of people that make decisions for this country, they plan to send a check, $1,200 for the single adult taxpayer earning less than $75,000, $2,400 to married couple that file jointly, an additional $500 if you got children. According to 1 Peter 3:11, I want to encourage you to do good. It's a point of record. If the government does what they say they're going to do, that you're going to receive money. Yeah. You're going to receive a check, and it's publicly known. And I want to say, according to 1 Corinthians 16:2, you can turn there, 1 Corinthians 16:2, that you do good. Because Paul said, now concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that every one of you lay by in store, as God has prospered him. There'll be no gathering when I come. I don't want you to be able to say that I didn't know, or no one said to me. I'm saying to you before you receive. The word prosper means that which is gained. God is allowing each of our circumstances to be helped monetarily. Righteous people won't forget God, and they're giving back to him from these stimulus checks that we are planning to receive. Not the righteous. Not the righteous. Not the righteous. I want to lay that on the hearts of everyone here that's listening. God is going to bless all of us, and we know what the blessings is. If the government does what they say they're going to do, we talk about the government, what they won't do, what they do with it. They're doing something now for each of us, adults and even those that got children. And I want to encourage you to do good and give back to God as God has allowed you to prosper. Make no mistake about it. God oftentimes allows us to test our faith. And understand this here. You are not showing God how faithful you are. You are showing yourself how faithful you are to being committed to what God said. God has prospered. God's gonna prosper my family. And we're going to give, we're planning to give to the Lord as God has prospered us with the additional checks that we receive, stimulus checks. I want to say that. That's the point. It's good to say to all of us. You know, you can plan to do what you want to do, but I want you to know as a preacher of righteousness, anytime you receive something, a check, you give God his money first. Then you take care of everything else. That's the order should be. Yeah, you give to God. You also understand this here. Not only you give to God, you also learn to give to other people. Yeah, you give to other people. You have a responsibility to take care of your family. Let me give Bible for that while I'm at this point here. The Bible says 1 Timothy 5:17, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than infidel. So I have a responsibility to provide for my family. Yeah, I have a responsibility. But I also have a responsibility for the 1 Corinthians 16:2 and also 2 Corinthians 9:7 to give back to God as God has allowed me to prosper. Yeah, I'm to give back to God as God has allowed me to prosper. So, again, my giving is in this order. Sometimes this may can help some of us that haven't been given properly. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, I don't want to assume you know what the Bible says. Paul said, but I say, 2 Corinthians 9:6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That's Bible. When you give to God, you understand that you are, it's like giving to yourself. Paul said, if you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. He said, for God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency, all things may abound unto every good work. So I'm saying to all of us, sometimes money may be our issue with being right with God. Your relationship with God won't be right because you won't give right and you won't do right by the monies you have. Some of us are not giving as we ought to, properly to the Lord. Good time to talk about that. I'll share it. Have no problem. So first, I give to God as God has prospered me. Secondly, in Ephesians chapter 4, not only am I to give, not only do I have responsibility to first give to God, and secondly, I provide for my own household, but then God even says in Ephesians 4:28, note what Paul says, let him that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor. Get out and get a job. Working with his hand, the thing which is good. Why, Paul? That he may have to give to him that need it. So I understand with the money God allowed me to be a steward over. God has instructed me in his word, one, to give to him, back to him, two, to provide for my family, three, to have something to give to other people that are in need, people that are less fortunate than me, being able to, you know, I don't spend everything on myself. I give to those that I know that are in need. Yeah, know that are in need. So you know this is God's order of giving. So when I get my check and get my money, sometimes we need to be educated on what God says in his word, how I am to give. First to God, provide for my family. I have a responsibility to provide my family. Also have a responsibility to find someone. Jesus said the poor will be with you always. You ain't got to look for poor people. They're there. They're here. But you got to have a heart to give to them that are less fortunate than you. And as I close, you may be on the call. Somebody, I heard someone say, I've invited people on the call. Let's go back to Peter's letter. I want to just show you in Peter's letter. I said I will show you all of this in this letter. How does one become righteous? If you are not a member of the Church of Christ, you're not a member of the house of God, then you are not righteous. You are not a Christian. So I'm saying in love, how does one become a Christian? Well, Peter said it in his letter, 1 Peter 3:18. Peter said, for Christ also has once suffered for sins. Christ suffered for sins. He says, the just for the unjust. At one point, all of us were unjust, but the just, being Jesus, died for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The purpose of Jesus suffering for our sins was to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, being quickened by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, that's the gospel that I referred to in 1 Peter 4:17, the gospel of God. The gospel of God, the good news of God, is that God's Son, Jesus Christ, came down this earth. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day, never to die again. That is the gospel, and you have to obey that gospel. How do I obey it? Peter said, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Those spirits that was preached to, that no priesthood, they are now in prison. He said, we sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, Noah being the preacher of righteousness, according to Peter's second letter, he said, while the ark was of a parent, wherein few, that is, eight souls, notice now, were saved by water. Yeah. When Jesus died on the cross, when they pierced him in the side, according to John 19:34, out came blood and water. He shed his blood in his death. But Peter said in verse 21, the like figure of water he's talking about, whereunto even baptism doeth also now. When, Paul, Peter? Now save us. What is it, Peter? It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not the reason you take a bath, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. You've been taught the word of God, and you're answering God by responding to God with a good conscience, he said, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So how does one become a Christian? You've heard the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You have to believe that according to what's written in the word of God. You have to repent of your sin. We talked about those that are evil. You turn from what you were doing, and you turn toward God. That's how one starts toward righteousness. You got to turn to God. You got to want to do good. And then I have to make the confession that I now believe that Jesus Christ, according to Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we'll do what Peter said to do in verse 21. We will baptize you in water for the forgiveness of all your past sins, and then you are saved at that point. You become righteous at that point. Why? Because you have obeyed the will of God and done what God has said. Peter said that in his letter to those that were righteous, those that were Christians. And so I want to say that I thank you for your time today, and hopefully I challenge you, provoke your heart to, if you want to be righteous, you got to do that which is right. All of us have to do right. Will we sin? Yes, we will sin. But when the opportunity presents itself to do right, if I want to be righteous, I can't claim that I'm righteous when I willingly won't do right, when I want to do right. And if you're on the call tonight, this afternoon, and you've heard what I said, you need to get back in contact with us. If you're not a Christian, you haven't been baptized for remission of your past sins, you haven't confessed Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, you haven't been water baptized after hearing right teaching, not wrong teaching, but even if you've been baptized and you weren't baptized, you weren't taught right, that's in Acts chapter 19, you still are not a Christian, you're still in your sin, you have to obey truth, is what I'm preaching this afternoon. So if there's anyone today, contact us, give us a call. My number, you call me personally, 281-731-9664. You have questions. 281-731-9664. I only have unto you gold and silver. Peter said, have I none? I got the word of God. I can share with you. I can share that with you. So I thank you again for the opportunity to preach God's word. And hopefully this afternoon there will be some soul that haven't obeyed the Lord will obey the Lord and become a Christian and be as we are. There's not someone that has been, you've been living away from the Lord, you'll turn and face the Lord. And I think, as Brother Brooks said, we'll give you an opportunity to repent as we'll ask Brother Hill to come on and give us a song of invitation to try to prick your heart to obey the Lord. Thank you very much.